Hello, everybody. Hi. Hello. Hi, Stormy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing really good. It's Wednesday. It's warm enough now that I brought out the fancy goblet to drink from. Because I feel like... Yeah, like, I've got this goblet. I bought it... Oh, I was backpacking through Germany in my early 20s. And, like, this is this pewter goblet. And I feel like I'm very classy when I drink out of it. So it's warm enough now that I've got my Kraken. And yes, I'm drinking at 5 o'clock on a whatever it is, Wednesday. That's all good. Yeah, so
we're under a bit of aircon as well today.
Yes, yeah, that was a kind of a big reason for doing this from home, because it is warm here again today and it is nice to be somewhere that's cool.
Yes, last week we were sweating.
I'm pretty sure
when we hit like to stop the stream, I literally just like I bent over because I was just like, oh, I was like, it is so hot in here.
Oh, I know, and yeah, it's on the list of improvements to be made to the studio. We will say that. But yeah, speaking of fans charling off, hello to Gamma and White Monkey, and to yourself as well. Thank you so much for joining us on this amazing Wednesday. Or Friday if you're listening to us on one of the podcast platforms.
That was a very smooth segue, I will just say there as well.
I'm getting very, very good at that stuff.
I feel like
I had a run there where it was very stop start, but now I think I'm in the zone just in time for the end of the year and me to forget it all for next year. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to more smooth segues.
Yep. So tonight we've got a few things to talk about, but the big one is going to be Game Awards, because that's on Friday. You've got a little bit of news that I think we might share a little bit later. But we're going to get into our normal segments to begin with. So first off, we're going to jump right into our bloody good game of the week here. Thanks to Aussie Broadband, and we'll start with your one, Stormy.
Okay, well, I actually couldn't remember if I talked about this one, but I thought it was good to bring up again because it is nominated for Game of the Year this year. So my bloody good game of the week is Elden Ring. And it is a game that I would never expected myself to enjoy. And I'm kind of glad that the less I looked into the game before I bought it, the better. Because if I knew what I was getting myself into, I wouldn't have touched it with a 10-foot pole. Like, I was basically peer pressured by... one friend in particular who loved, you know, the Souls games, and obviously it was George R. R. Martin, right, that wrote the story of Elden Ring. Or am I making shit up by accident?
I don't know. I will find out.
Hold on. Yeah, so anyway, I was just told that it was going to be really, really good because he wrote the backstory, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I know I had a friend who was a big fan of them, and they were like, you need to get this. It's going to be so good. And, you know, the phrase Game of the Year was already circling. And this only came out in, oh, God, I want to say January or February. Like, it was, like, the first quarter of the year. And I realized when I played the game that I am capable of more than I think, with a little bit of determination and stubbornness. And I really enjoyed it. Don't ask me what the story is. All I know is that I'm maidenless, whatever that means. I still have no maidens. But basically, it's open world, and you choose your class of character at the beginning, and you've got basically a whole kind of point system of different stats. And as you progress in the game, you can pick up or purchase like different weapons with things called runes. And I guess what makes the game so hard is, like, as you take down enemies and you accumulate these runes that you can use to upgrade, if you die, you do have one opportunity to go back and collect those runes at your death spot. But if you die again and don't pick them up, like, they're gone. They're gone forever. So you could go through, like, a couple of hours of collecting all these. I'm pretty sure they're called runes, but it's the currency in the game.
Yeah, I think I've heard that as well, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can go through, like, a good couple of hours of collecting these runes, but if you don't spend them quick enough, or if you're saving up for something big and you just happen to have a terrible death or two, they're gone, and it's game over. Well, not game over. You basically just have to try and grind for them again. And the combat is very interesting. I went for more of a mage kind of class, like a magic-based class. Which a lot of people are like, oh, but that's the easiest one. Well, that's fine, because I play games to have fun and I don't want to hate myself too much. And as my first Souls-like game, you know, I think it was a good class to start with. And yeah, I've actually taken down a few good enemies so far, and it is definitely one that I'm planning on returning to hopefully really soon. And I think it was, I guess, you know, we're getting towards the end of the year and I'm reflecting on games that we've, you know, played and talked about this year. I think Elden Ring is definitely up there with one of my favorites, and I hope it wins Game of the Year, because I thought visually it also looked gorgeous. I loved all the character design, and even though I'm not that far into the game just yet, I have seen a design of some of the enemies and some of the other characters and NPCs, and they're gorgeous. I think it's fantastic, and Elden Ring is my bloody good game of the week.
Nice. I feel like Elden Ring, because I was watching our friends over at the OGR podcast on Monday night, and that podcast was in danger of becoming an Elden Ring podcast early, because like they absolutely love it. Cap and Grizz absolutely adore the game. So I think I've lived a little bit vicariously through them with all the Elden Ring love, and they were talking about it, and in particular they were talking about the story, and I feel like the best thing I can sort of compare the story to is not what happens in the story, but how they tell the story is to Breath of the Wild. So Breath of the Wild on its surface has a very simple story, but if you go around, you get the lore objects, you talk to people, and you just look at the surrounds, that tells a whole story as well. And I think Elden Ring kind of told the story like that. So I think it kind of gets not frowned on, but just kind of pushed to the back burner a bit for a lot of people story-wise, because they go, oh, well, it didn't tell a story. Well, you only played the main quest line. Like, if you do all the other bits and pieces, then you'll find a really good story in there.
I think it is one of those games where, like, you do get more out, like, depending on how much you put into it. Because, like you said, like, I definitely haven't, I will admit, not been going through the whole lore side of it. I'm a bit of a, because I'm trying to get through so many games at once at the moment, I'm not taking maybe as much time as I should to really take the time to read things. But some other games it's different. If I know it's a more short, maybe like A to B storyline based game, but with an open world like Elden Ring, or even like Horizon Forbidden West, like that game there, as much as I'm trying to read all the lore, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I really need to finish the story. Like, I really need to finish this game. And I'm still, it doesn't mean that I'm enjoying it any less. I don't know what I'm missing, clearly. But I think I guess there's a bit more of an incentive to go back and play a little bit more and to pay a bit more attention if you have the time to. So, yeah.
Yeah. I also feel like open world kind of suits Elden Ring really well, because, like I say, it's a Souls-like game, and you can sit there and you can butt your head against the wall in an enemy in the Souls-like games and get nowhere. Whereas in Elden Ring, because it's open world, you've got the opportunity to pull back, go maybe grind a little bit, or find another area that might not be as high level and have a go at that too.
Yeah, you could be really cheeky and like farm the same area if you've got the patience to do it. But I do think there is something really rewarding, or like to know that maybe you are going into a spot that you might not quite be ready for, but to still overcome it is still really great. And even if you do lose, it is such a big like kind of learning curve and a big lesson in patience I've learned for myself personally. But very, very, very rewarding though. There's no better feeling than overcoming an enemy you haven't been able to before, whether it is requiring you to grind your way through to it or just on a whim go, oh yeah, let's just see how we go. And that's also a good feeling too, to defeat those kind of, little adventures that you go on, those quests.
That's awesome. And it's interesting that you mentioned Horizon Forbidden West there, because a game I've been playing lately, and my bloody good game of the week, is actually Horizon Zero Dawn. So I picked this up cheap in Steam sales, Black Friday sales a couple of weeks ago, and it was like $30. I'm like, yeah, I'll give that a go. And I tell you what, I am loving this. Like, I feel that in terms of the open world stuff, like, the only Assassin's Creed game I've played has been Valhalla. And after a while, I got collectible fatigue in that game. But it feels to me like what you're collecting in Zero Dawn matters. Like, you're crafting your bow, your arrows while you're out and about, and you're having to farm a little bit, I'm finding, but for most of the time it feels really natural in what's happening. And there's not as much little puzzles that you need to go and try and sort out, and it just, yeah, it just it's feeling really good, and to the point where to fast travel you need to craft a fast travel kit, but I'm finding that if I fast travel, I miss out on a lot of that farming stuff, and I run out of materials pretty quick. So I'm walking between areas and picking up everything that I can along the way to craft my arrows and like all the trip wires and stuff like that as well, because like there are lots of traps you can set up to try and to tackle the machines and yeah, I'm having a blast with it. Just traveling through, taking my time. I will say that I am seriously overleveled for where I am in the game because I keep stopping and doing side quests and things like that. But once again, I'm okay with that. I don't mind that. I will say one thing that I found that I don't like about the game is that it seems to want you to plan and be stealthy and set up traps and whatnot, but then, you know, you try and set up, but it doesn't give you some basic tools like moving bodies. So if you kill somebody, they'll just sit there and for everybody to discover. And once it's discovered, you're fighting, and that's it. You have to fight. So like there's just a couple of little things that I think might have improved by giving a couple more sort of stealth mechanics, I guess, just to make it so that you could stop and plan a little bit more.
How are
But
you finding the story so far? Sorry, Jim.
well, here's the thing with the story for me, because I already know the big twist at the end, because well, because I
Aww.
figured this was a Sony game, and I don't have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I was, oh yeah, this was going back ages ago, and I just sort of made the decision that oh, I'm probably never going to play this game. So like it wasn't, I didn't set out to do it, but there was a couple of like those, you know, top 10 twists in video games type videos that I watched, and I thought, oh yeah, I'm never gonna play this. So I watched it, and I know what the twist is. So like that. I'm kind of a bit meh about because I know it's coming, and like right at the beginning, you know, something points you in one direction, and you know, but then I'm guessing in at the end of the game it twists and goes the other way, I'm just going to say it with it's to do with Aloy's origin. So Aloy is the main character in it. So that doesn't give too much away, but there is a twist at the end about it. So that the story I'm not super fussed about, I guess. And if I'm being honest, most of it's well, and I guess because I'm still doing side missions, like I don't feel I've done a lot of the main story progression. In fact, I know I haven't, because the recommended level for the main story at the moment is 12, and I'm at level 25. So I'm fairly overleveled.
You've been a bit distracted.
But I do get like caught in the oh, I'm just going to do this, and I'm just going to do this, or do this on the way to the next mission point. But one thing I do want to say, I really love the wilderness aspect and the way the technology gets woven into it as well. Like the machine animals are really cool, but the bits that I really am loving are the cauldron parts. So
Yeah, they're wicked.
yeah, so these are like they're very mechanical in the way they look and operate. Although I did one last night where humans had gotten in, and so there was like a human camp in there as well. But just the feel of them, like the tonal shift, like I'll compare it to Assassin's Creed Valhalla again, because you know the key mechanic of well, the key story mechanic of the Assassin's Creed series is that someone's in the Animus machine and their consciousness is being sent back in time to see what's going on. And in Valhalla, every now and then you'd come across a glitch in the Animus, and all of a sudden you'd stop playing as Ivor and be the person in the Animus machine. And that kind of really took me out of it. And especially because there was no real story about this other person, and just randomly the character that I know and have gotten to love in the game is somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, you stumble across this big secret technology thing and you're going, wow, what is this? And it actually feels more natural in the game.
Yeah.
But
no, I always like the cauldrons too. They were quite fun, and there's like that slight puzzle aspect to some of it too that was quite enjoyable. I've been finding myself getting quite carried away with that in Forbidden West as well. Mm. So I can understand how you got distracted, because I think I'm doing the exact same thing at the moment.
Yeah. But it's definitely very good fun, and I'm glad that I was able to find it for $30, and I think I think Daz Action posted in our Discord that there was another sale on it. It was $24 or something. I'm sitting there going, no, but then I went, it's $5, you know.
It is what it is.
That's it, and things are always going to go on sale this time of year. And if you're thinking about picking it up, it's on sale, so go grab it.
There you go.
So, and that's my bloody good game of the week. Thank you so much, Aussie Broadband, for that. Wow.
Now the big stuff.
The big stuff. That's right. So we move on now to Stormy's Lightning Recap. And one of these days...
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that. No, I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about the Game Awards. Lightning Recap. Oh, that sounded really like, oh, yeah, this is my turn. No, it's not like that at all. I thought we were out to
talk Game Awards. See what I have to deal with, people.
I'm getting the
ego that I deal with on a daily basis. No.
I just got ahead of myself there. Anyway. Yeah, sorry. Lightning Recaps. Getting close to the end of the year now, but we've still got a few other little, there's still a few good releases to look forward to. So releasing this Friday should be Dragon Quest Treasures for the Switch, and then next Tuesday is Crisis Core, the Final Fantasy VII Reunion. High on Life comes out next Tuesday, I believe. And I feel like I have to mention this because it has been my bloody good game of the week. And would have become one of my favorites now. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt next Wednesday is getting some of that sweet, sweet new gen treatment. And what I mean by that is they're basically giving those, I believe it's a free upgrade for consoles. Obviously, PC doesn't miss out either. And I think, don't quote me on it, I think at the same time that's when they're introducing the Netflix-inspired missions and some outfits and stuff as well off memory. I couldn't not mention that because, you know, obviously everyone's looking forward to, you know, everyone loves a bit more Witcher.
Mm-hmm. I'm very glad because I bought The Witcher when it was on sale in last year's Boxing Day sales. And so I've got it sitting there and haven't touched it yet. And now it's got a next-gen upgrade. So I go, that's great. My first playthrough of Witcher 3 can be on the next-gen upgrade.
That's the thing. And I was like, oh, that's just so typical. I'm about to finish the main story and all the new upgrades are coming out for it. But I can play the DLC through it. But anyway, so those are the next releases in the coming week. Dragon Quest Treasures, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, High on Life, and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. I'm calling it the new gen treatment. That's a quote-unquote unofficial name by me. Go on.
I was about to say, I'm quite interested in High on Life.
High on Life is written by the guy that did Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah. So, and all the guns talk, and you can hear like the voice of Rick and Morty in there. So I reckon that's going to be interesting, and it's on Game Pass as well. So I've got it set to preload. So when that comes out on the 14th, I'll be ready to play that for a bit. At least give it a try and see if the voices have enough lines that it doesn't get annoying.
I don't mind, because it's not. Is it set in a Rick and Morty universe or is it just...
I think it's just,
the same art style and voice actor and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't mind it. I actually watched quite a bit of Rick and Morty, but I can see what you mean about it being potentially a bit...
repetitive.
What's the right word? Yeah, kind of repetitive, kind of a bit samey after a while, but we'll see.
My concerns on that are not so much around the gameplay, but just like... you've got guns that talk, you're going to want to hear them talk. And if they've got like five lines that they just say over and over again, that's going to get very boring.
Yeah.
Now I've got the hiccups. I shouldn't have had that drink.
That's fine. Well, I still got to quickly recap the Game On Oz latest reviews as well. So we have the let me try this again. We Who Are About to Die, early access review by Alan Trek. The Rockout Burst Pro Air Wireless Gaming Mouse review by Dylan. The Infinity Game Table by Royce, which I think was made by 1UP. That's like a $2,000 Infinity Game Table.
It looked
like
pretty bloody cool, though.
It looks really cool, but he makes some really good points in the article about it as well. So definitely check it out, because it looks really cool. And I think learning a bit more about it and how much it has to offer and how much it is really interesting. Yeah. And as well as that, we also have the Game On Oz Tabletop Gaming Gift Guide, which is full of some really great ideas if you're looking for something for someone in your family or a friend that is a tabletop fan. There's a good variety of things all collated in this article on GameOnOz.com. So make sure you go check that out.
I particularly like, there's a couple of things I really like in there, because in my younger days I used to play, there was a Star Wars collectible card game. So you'd buy like the Ultra Deck card sleeves and you put it in to protect your cards. And looking in here, there's like some Ultimate Guard deck boxes, and they
look all those.
So cool. And like, because like the Star Wars card game that I played, you had a light side and a dark side deck. And if you played in tournaments, you had to have one of each, because you would swap which side you would play. And looking at this, how it's got like two different compartments for the cards, I went, this would be amazing for the back in the days when I was playing that sort of stuff. But even as well, like the Wooten Forge tabletop gaming accessories, how they've got that nice wooden box for your dice. Looks so cool.
Oh, look, you can never have too many dice either. They're always a good little stocking stuffer idea.
They
stocking stuffer, but there's so many varieties of dice out there too. But I think we've got one recommended brand in there.
I think there was a couple. There was Chessex dice and Level Up dice as well. So like really good looking die. So definitely have a check out of the tabletop game gifting guide. And this one I think might have not made your list because it was released a couple of weeks ago. But there's the General Tech Gaming Guide as well that's been out. So this was put together by Royce Zulu for those in the Discord. And just talks about a few things like the Amazon Kindle. And one thing that I am forever looking for is like it's a 4-port USB charger. So like this one thing plugs into the wall and then you can plug all your USB stuff into it. My favorite thing, like I bought a couple of them, is like a USB AC adapter with two USB plugs in the back of it. I absolutely love those. As well as like Swan camera, 12 South hover bar. I actually really like this. So it's just like something that holds your iPad or your phone up so you can watch it from wherever you are rather than having to, you know, have a case that maybe sit on a table somewhere and you'd be a bit further away from it. So I think I think that's really cool. And of course, Nano Leaf. Everybody should know the Nano Leaf lights. They are so good. They are so
I wish
nice.
I had some Nano Leaf lights. They look so cool. I don't know if I'm actually allowed to like post them up in my rental, but we could work around it.
Yeah, well, you could always like put a get a bit of board or something and put them on that.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Mm.
And I don't know how these ones go, but there's a lot of stuff these days that are designed to be pulled off walls as well.
Yeah, I think there's some good stuff that you can use, like the really strong adhesive stuff. As long as it doesn't take off the paint, then we're good.
Yeah. That's it. So so those are the gift guides that we got and the lightning recap, but definitely keep your eyes tuned to GameOnOz.com for more incoming gift guides and your daily dose of reviews and just general gaming content, because it's amazing, even if we do say so ourselves.
And even all the previous episodes from our podcast and Nuts and Bolts podcast are also on there too, as well as your favorite streaming platform as well. So
that's it. Yeah,
we are everywhere.
So Charlie Golf tried to jump the gun a little bit on this first story. So before we get into the Game Awards, there's one more thing that we want to mention, and we really weren't going to do any news stories and kind of just do the Game Awards predictions, but this came up and it is such a huge thing, and you pointed at pointed this out to me, Stormy, so why don't you just roll with it for a bit.
Well, I think I got to quote it because that's how big it is. I don't want to damage the words of Mr. Spencer. Just give me 2 seconds because I think I'd seen this tweet literally a minute or two after it got posted, and I had to do a double take, and then I went, I have to send this to Jim. So, as of today, Phil Spencer tweets, Microsoft has entered into a 10-year commitment to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo following the merger of Microsoft and Activision Blizzard King. Microsoft is committed to helping bring more games to more people, however they choose to play. I'm also pleased to confirm that Microsoft has committed to continue to offer Call of Duty on Steam simultaneously to Xbox after we have closed the merger with Activision Blizzard King.
So there's a couple of thoughts I had when reading this. The first is this is amazing, and it's going to be so great to see all this stuff on so many different platforms, and just seeing Xbox continuing their belief that gaming is for should be played on everything, like whatever you've got, that's what you should be able to play on. Raven, thank you so much for that sub. It's a bird. Thanks, it's Raven. A plane. It's a lovely Stormy and Straight. Aww. Thank you so much. But part of me, and because I'm sitting, it's probably, I think we talked about this a little while ago. It's got to have been about a year since the acquisition was first announced, or Microsoft announced their intentions to buy Activision Blizzard. And it's dragged on for so long, with the main thing being regulators giving Sony more weight than I think they probably should in this matter, to be honest. And I think a lot of it's come down to, in this matter, has come down to COD and Sony's fear that Microsoft will take it away from it, from Sony. And they really don't want this to happen. So they've kind of zeroed in on this as being, this is a huge seller for Sony. Please, basically, don't take this away from us. Even though Microsoft had offered them a 10-year deal to say it's going to be available to Sony for that, and Sony refusing to take it. And so now Microsoft has gone, well, if you're not going to take it, we're going to give it to Nintendo, and we're going to give it to Steam. Yeah, suck on those eggs. And part of me is thinking that, you know, and yeah, it's a company, and I've got no doubt that this is in their minds as well when they went to make this decision, that it's to appease the regulators, saying, look, we've signed this agreement with these two other companies. Sony won't accept it. That's their problem, not ours. We've offered it to them. Please let our merger, well, please let our acquisition go the hell ahead, because it's been long enough now.
I love the particular sentence, which I think I deliberately emphasized. Microsoft is committed to helping bring more games to more people however they choose to play. I think it's just such a, like, it's without saying, like, yeah, I think this is what you said to me as well. It's funny, there was, I mean, I, as much as I maybe couldn't or wouldn't want to mention Sony, it's enough of a bit of a dig almost to be like, we're not taking this away from
people. Yeah.
You know, but I think that's really exciting. That's really cool. I mean, I am all for having more people able to play the same games as everybody else. How it runs, maybe a different story.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a cloud version. And I did see someone like almost Tinfoil Hat Brigade in the comments say, notice they didn't say Switch. And I go, yeah, well, the Switch couldn't run this. Like, I love the Switch. I think it's been a great console, but it has nowhere near the power to run a first-person shooter like this.
No. I mean, like, you have other, I guess, you can't even say smaller, but, like, you know, Fortnite and things like that, you can run on a Switch. But when it's something like Call of Duty, it just makes me, it's interesting what the next 10 years then is going to bring for Nintendo and for Microsoft. With Call of Duty, it's a really it's like the biggest news today. So I feel like we couldn't not talk about it today.
Yeah, we had to. It had to be done. And just a white monkey in chat, Game Pass isn't available on the Switch unless someone's found some way to make xCloud run through the Switch's mobile web browser, which I wouldn't put it past them. But not at the moment. Game Pass isn't available on Switch. But Nintendo and Microsoft have had a pretty good relationship for a long time now, probably even going back as far as Minecraft, really. And the fact that Steve and what was the other Minecraft character got featured in Smash.
Steve and Alex.
They got featured in Smash. So I think that, you know, part of this is, you know, it's a good thing for Nintendo to say, cool, we've got a shoot again. We've got a CODs coming back to the Switch. And that said, there were CODs on the Wii U, just quietly.
Yeah, there was, you know. A couple.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting one, I think, but I don't think I'm too... I'm 100% this has been done as a big FU to Sony and to say to the regulators, look, we've been offering this to everybody. So the fact that Sony didn't take it is their problem, not ours. Yeah.
I think it's just going to be a bit of a now stay tuned you know, let's wait and see scenario. Because I don't know, I'd be very surprised if I saw something in the next year. I don't think we'll see something from like a little while longer than that to really see some wheels start to turn. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, one thing we won't have to wait too much longer for is the Game Awards. So this is coming up on Friday morning, Australian time. So I actually quite like this because it's happening at a time that's reasonable for us to watch.
Oh, I know. Thank God. Like, I feel like every other game, like, showcase on Nintendo Direct usually is at some really awful hour in the morning. And I always feel like I have to miss it. But this one's actually at, like a human time. A normal time.
Yeah,
I think is what
definitely,
I'm trying to say.
Definitely, yeah. And that's probably a good thing for you because you had some news about that, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, no, I did. I applied, I think it was a week or a week or two ago, back when we must have started talking about the Game Awards nominees, to see whether it was something I could stream. And apparently anyone can stream it, and I have applied to officially co-stream the Game Awards, and I found out last night I am officially a co-streamer for the Game Awards. So they've given me some really cool assets to use on stream for when I go live. So the Game Awards starts 8:30 a.m. Perth time. So that's obviously when I'll be streaming. I'll probably go live a little bit earlier so we can all get excited and get chatting.
It's definitely 8:30 because I had in my head it was like 7:30 that the official...
I was on a website that had all the Australian times for the Game Awards, and it said Perth was at 8:30. I will go double check. I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, either way, I will be up, even if it's 7:30, 8:30, I am there Friday morning on my Twitch channel. I'll basically be reacting to and, you know, everything that hopefully, you know, we'll see some announcements. I know... I'll quickly drop this in here because I know we're not talking too much about news, but the new Jedi Survivor game, the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, I am so looking forward to that.
Just quietly, they've Neville Longbottomed Cal Kestis.
Oh, he looks so great. Oh, man. I loved Cal Kestis in the first one, though, too. Mm. But, like, I'm so looking forward to seeing more of that on Friday. The viewer rewards, I'm glad Gamma has mentioned this, because as far as I'm aware, there are viewer rewards for some streamers that are streaming the Game Awards. Unfortunately, I'm not one of them, but if you'd like to support your Goa gal, either way, you can come chat with me. Otherwise, there are a few select streamers that will have some drops. I believe they are for, I think there's one for Fall Guys, that one I know definitely off the top of my head. The others I can't remember, but if you have your Twitch drops enabled, you can tune in for those, but they won't be on my channel, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm really, really excited. I'm really looking forward to it. To have gotten that email saying I was an official co-streamer. If you miss it, I'm hoping to pop the VOD up like straight up onto YouTube. And I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Very exciting.
White Monkey, thank you for the Prime sub as well.
Yes. Thank you, White Monkey. So good. So bloody good.
But yeah, excited. I'm so excited.
I guess we should talk a little bit about some of the categories, and we're going to make some predictions about what I think what we want to win, and we'll see how that compare or what we think should win from the categories and how that compares to what actually wins. So, but we do need your help with a few of them, Twitch chat. So, unfortunately, if you listen to this on a podcast, this was done a couple of days ago, so you won't be able to vote in this. But we're going to have a Twitch chat poll for a few of the games, a few of the categories that we got here. So, the big one, of course, being the game of the year. So, we're not going to reveal what we're gonna say for that one just yet. So, just let me game of unless did you didn't already have this set up, did you, Stormy?
What did I have set up already?
For
The
the first poll.
Oh, no, I'm
No,
gonna set
that's
up.
all right. I will get that set up now. Just quickly.
Should I read them out?
I think that's a good idea.
All right. So for the Game of the Year nominees, we have A Plague Tale: Requiem. We also have Elden Ring. We have God of War: Ragnarok. Horizon Forbidden West. Stray. And Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
So we have a problem.
What's the problemo?
The problem is that the Twitch poll will only let me have five entries, not six.
Is there any that we're just gonna ditch and be like,
no,
nah, that's
I think let's just combine the last two into one. So we'll put Stray and Xenoblade Chronicles
we'll put in one.
in one.
And then if that wins, then we have a separate poll, and then you can battle it out between Xenoblade
All
and
right.
Stray if it comes to that.
That's it. So we'll get. No, no, we don't want all our additional votes. Just one vote for everybody. Cool. So that poll is now live. So you guys can have a vote in that and see how you go. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for that to go, let's have a chat about the other categories. So we've got Best Game Direction, which is awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. And for that, we've got Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West. I'm sensing a theme here. Immortality and Stray. So, look, we've spoken about this a little bit, but Stray, come on, how is that Game of the Year material, really? Like, it's a great game, but how is it in Game of the Year? But this one's in Best Game Direction, and honestly, I think as far as game direction goes, it gets my vote for that.
Explain.
So, well, I think it's got a really good art style. It looks really cool. I think the story it's telling is very, well, not very interesting. And I think that in terms of creative vision, I think that's a better, like, or sorry, in terms of game direction, I think it's got the other games beat. Like, the only one I think in terms of game direction that would come close to it is Immortality, and that's only because I haven't played it. I've only seen sort of game trailers for it. So, but that's more a like a story, a very story-driven game. But yeah, I think Stray should be up there for best game direction.
I think Stray has good game direction. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I just think, I don't know. I feel like God of War Ragnarok, I haven't played it. But from watching a little bit and having people talk about it to me and things like that as well, in terms of the creative vision and the different types of characters and the settings and stuff that you kind of muck around in, and the design of it. I don't know. I actually, the more I think about it now, I feel like Elden Ring has such a unique style and world. I almost kind of want to, I know that we've actually voted on this in our own little spreadsheet
Well,
straight, but I feel like I almost.
you haven't announced it yet, so you could change it.
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I'm tossing up between two. What are you talking about? I'm actually, I mean, as much as I think God of War is going to take out a lot of categories, or not a lot of, a good amount, I'd like to see Elden Ring get this one. Just because, yeah, I think the world that it resides in is very unique in terms of creative vision and things like that too. And we're talking about, you know, we're talking about lore and things like that as well. I feel like there's so many layers to it, which whether you explore it or not, it's all still there for you. I don't know if you could argue that it comes under narrative. Maybe it does.
Well, it's this particular award is just about game direction, not about narrative. So
I don't know. Like, if we're talking creatively, visually, world building wise, I guess. I don't know. I feel like Elden Ring might have this one. If it doesn't get Game of the Year, I like to think it might get Game Direction.
Cool. All right. So so Stormy's going Elden Ring. I'm going Stray for that one. Ooh. See which one gets... See if either of us are right on the after the Friday. But yeah. The poll for Game of the Year has finished. So let's talk a little bit about this. And... our spreadsheet is saying we both picked the same one for Game of the Year. And I kind of think it's going to be hard to beat. So the games that were nominated for this, again, were A Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War: Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Chat actually only had two games voted for. So there's a very, very... seems to be a two-horse race here. And the winner of that was Elden Ring. With God of War Ragnarok coming in just behind it as well. So that's probably the way I'm feeling about it as well, except yeah. I jumped the other way. I think God of War Ragnarok will get Game of the Year.
Because I think I would like to see Elden Ring win Game of the Year, but I do think God of War is going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, especially I think for a lot of people, unless you're really lucky and fortunate enough to have played everything that's been nominated, it's so hard trying to pick something amongst other games that you haven't kind of dipped your toes into just yet. So like, I haven't played Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Like, I could not tell you anything about it. I've seen a couple of minutes of a Plague Tale. So I feel like in some ways I can't be totally fair on it. I can only go off what I know, which is going to be obviously everyone's position.
Mm.
But as much as I love Elden Ring to win, I feel like God of War will get it.
I even feel like in terms of hype around games, going into this looking at hype, it'd be Elden Ring, God of War, or Horizon. Those would be the three that you'll get it, but I feel like Horizon is so far behind Elden Ring and God of War that it's not even funny.
Yeah, I don't feel like, in all honesty, like Horizon was great, or is great. I haven't finished it yet. Like Forbidden West is great. I don't feel like it's doing anything too differently from the first one, which is why it wasn't there for me. Like, if I had to nominate it, I don't think I would have. Whereas Elden Ring is its own beautiful world and, you know, things like that. And God of War, from what I've read, you know, when we're talking to Dylan and things like that as well, when he did the review, how it just elevates, it takes the story from the 2018 one to the next level and expands on that more, I can understand. But, like, for me, I haven't heard that much of, like, Forbidden West in the same way, because you've got two sequels in there.
Yeah. That's right.
No. Well, I mean,
You've got four sequels because Plague Tale: Requiem's a sequel.
Is that a direct sequel?
Yeah. So So and then God of War's a sequel, Horizon's a sequel, and Xenoblade Chronicles is a sequel.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure if Xenoblade Chronicles was like a direct sequel. You know how sometimes they do sequels, but they're in like a different.
Yeah. Well, like I don't know that much about it, but. Like, it's called Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Like, another installment in the series, you could say. Whereas, like, Elden Ring is its own IP.
Yeah.
And so is Stray.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'd like to see Elden Ring win. But, yeah, I think it's going to be God of War.
All right. Well, we may need to speed this up a little bit. So let's... I feel like Game of the Year and probably Indie Game of the Year is where we can have a bit more of a discussion. But
yeah.
Let's have a chat about best narrative for outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game. So once again, we've gone the same here. God of War, Ragnarok. I think, but like you said, like Elden Ring's... Sorry, I should go... let me go back and take my foot out of my mouth and I'll start again. Best narrative, we've got the... nominees of A Plague's Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. And yeah, we've both gone God of War. So, and I think that that's pretty fair, to be honest. Like, from I haven't heard all of the story, but I've heard so many people just really appreciate the story in this game.
Yeah, everyone I've spoken to who has played God of War, like, won't stop talking about how good the story was. And I know just after it came out, everyone was very serious about spoilers and stuff coming out and stuff for it as well. So yeah, that's why I think it's going to win best narrative. I deliberately actually didn't choose Elden Ring because I don't know what the story is. I don't know what I'm doing. So yeah, I think it's going to be God of War.
Yep. Cool. So next category we're going to talk about is best art direction for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. So we've got Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray. So you've gone with Elden Ring on that one. What makes you really like the art direction in it?
Visually, I think it's incredibly beautiful. So I'm playing Elden Ring on the Series X, and there's so many different elements in the open world, like landscape itself, that is so it's just so intriguing, and I just love the attention to detail, even with things like armor, or like even the different, like, I think I've mentioned this before when I was talking about it for Bloody Good Game of the Week, so I won't repeat myself too much, but the character design and things like that is incredible. And I don't know, again, it's just attention to detail for me, but I'm sure you're going to say the same thing about Scorn.
Yeah, well, that's what I like. Looking at all the rest, like, to me, Elden Ring, God of War, Horizon Forbidden West, they're kind of, they've got their differences, but they're still people. They've still got, like, their very set ways of doing things. And yes, they're beautiful games to look at, but they're not doing anything really interesting and different to me. It's going to sound a bit strange because I did put, like, I have to preface this with saying that Stray is a great game. I don't think it's Game of the Year material, but it's a great game. But the art direction in that, I think, is better than those other three games. But Scorn itself is just so unique and so interesting in the way that it's done its art that I think it deserves to win best art direction there.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be mad if Scorn gets it. Even just for the sake of seeing, hey, look, in the same category, you've got four Game of the Year nominees. To see Scorn win it, that would also make me quite happy, because you're right, it does do something very different.
Yeah, cool. Best score and music for outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. Actually, I didn't read that before. The licensed soundtrack thing is interesting, because now I kind of want to put Guardians of the Galaxy in here. Oh, no, that was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, that went for last year.
I can't remember if that got in there for last year, but it definitely should have if it didn't, just because of the licensed music selection was amazing. But the nominees for the 2022 Game Awards, we've got A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Metal Hellsinger, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Now, if you've been watching this podcast for a while, you will not be surprised that Metal Hellsinger is my pick. The music, it's a rhythm shooter, and so, yeah, the music's going to be great, but just the way they built the soundtrack for it and gotten all these metal singers in and just it composed original songs for it, it just fits so amazingly well, and if it doesn't win best score in music, I'll be very disappointed.
I agree with you. I would like to see, again, Metal Hellsinger win, because it's in amongst all the rest of the Game of the Year nominees. And I think because of its emphasis on music, and, you know, I've been listening to you talk about how much you've enjoyed it, I'd love to see it win. I went for Elden Ring again. I'm going off games that most of the time I have played. And I don't know, it's just the whole atmosphere, and sometimes the scariness or the uncertainty that's kind of played through its score in certain elements of the game, or even during like boss fights and stuff, is really, really great. I can still hear it in my head now when I think about it. So
that's the key of a great soundtrack, when you just left a lasting impression. It's like the, you know, the sound you hear when you open a chest in Legend of Zelda. Like, if it's just there, you just hear it all the time.
But I won't be mad if Metal Helsinger gets it. It'll be nice to see as well.
Cool. All right, best audio design, recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. So I quite like that this is distinct from best score and music, because sound design is such an amazing thing to begin with. And so the nominees we have for this one are Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, and Horizon Forbidden West. So I'm actually going to preface this and say that apart from a little bit of DMZ in the new Warzone, I haven't played any of these. So, which will probably, you know, make my nomination for this one a little bit less. But I've gone with Gran Turismo 7 because I found the audio design in car games and Gran Turismo in general has always been top notch. And the way they make the engine sound different is just incredible to me. So that's why Gran Turismo 7 has gotten my vote there.
I actually went for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Like I could have gone for Elden Ring, but I don't know. When I've been playing Modern Warfare 2, I don't know, audio design's a really interesting thing, and I think it is a definite category where you will need to have listened or have played a little bit of all those games to give it a proper comparison and pick one.
I think you also had to play with headphones as well for those sorts of games to really pick up the sound in it. Yeah.
I think so. So, like, I don't know if it's also because all my previous picks were also Elden Ring. I decided to go for something different. But, yeah, I picked Modern Warfare 2.
Nice. Next one is Best Performance. So this is awarded to an individual for voice over acting, motion and or performance capture. I like that that motion capture's in here as well. I quite like that. But the nominees we've got is Ashley Nurch from Horizon Forbidden West, Charlotte McBurney from A Plague Tale, Christopher Judge from God of War Ragnarok, Manon Gage from Immortality, and Sunny Suljic from God of War Ragnarok. So it probably didn't escape your notice that both Kratos and his son have been nominated for their vocal talents here. I've gone for Christopher Judge. You've gone for Christopher Judge. I've mainly gone for it because I've loved Christopher Judge since his days as Teal'c in Stargate SG-1, and I love seeing him being rewarded for his work and just like that deep booming voice. It's just absolutely love him.
I liked I like Ashley Nurch as Aloy. For those who don't know who Aloy that voice actress was for Forbidden West. I don't know. It wasn't so much. I don't think it was based on her performance, but I think it was more so the character of Aloy I just couldn't like as much in the second one. I don't know how to describe it without potentially spoiling the first one. But everything I do see of Kratos, it leaves such an impression on, like, I just think of Christopher Judge now when I think of Kratos. And I always think of him at the Game Awards before when he said boy. Like, that's also very iconic.
Boy!
I reckon he'll get it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. And then the next category, game for impact, for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. And the nominees, Memoir Blue, As Dusk Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Endling, Extinction is Forever, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist. Once again, we've both kind of gone for the same thing, which is going to make it hard to prove who was right in their in our predictions here. But we've both gone for As Dusk Falls because it's a it is more of an interactive story, I would call it, than a video game, but it's definitely impactful with its message.
I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but I still think interactive stories are video games, whether people want to call them interactive movies or whatever. I think when you still have the choice to impact those characters through whatever mechanics, I don't know. I have more, not experience, but a bit more knowledge of As Dusk Falls compared to the other ones. And I did like the art style and the concept of it, so that's why I went for that one.
Nice. Best ongoing game. Awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. So nominees, we've got Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. I'm going to say I wanted to pick Final Fantasy 14, but I don't feel like it exploded last year and had such a good year. I even played the vanilla content on it and had a ball doing it. But this year, it doesn't feel like it's done a lot. So I've actually gone for Fortnite, because say what you will about Fortnite, I think that they've gone, like, they're constantly producing more content for it.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I also said Fortnite, and I think this also ties in to, and I realize I don't think you voted on this next one we're doing is best community support, because I think almost every game from best ongoing is also in that category. I don't know, I would have loved to have said Apex, even Destiny 2, but I just feel like Fortnite has always been so consistent with content. I don't know. I just feel like that's a no-brainer. Even Genshin, I think this is a really strong category of nominees.
Yeah. I must admit, like, Genshin kind of, like, I played it for a bit, but it was so gotcha that I was really not a fan of it. And they locked behind paywalls and stuff like that. So I'm really not a fan of that. Whereas Fortnite, it's just the skins that are locked behind the paywall, which I'm quite all right with. Thank you very much there. Mm. So the next one, we're going to get another poll up for. And luckily there's
only... Do
you
want me to do this one?
Oh, no, that's all right. I can do this one.
Do you want me to read them out?
Yes, please.
All right, so the best indie is for outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system. So the nominees are Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic, which I also think is a really good bunch of nominees. Like, this is a very strong category in general.
Yeah, but we've got the poll up for that one, so we'll wait for that poll to run its course. But in the meantime, we'll continue on with the next category, which is Best Mobile Game. For the best game playable on a mobile device. And there we have Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal, Genshin Impact, Marvel Snap, and Tower of Fantasy. Going to be straight up, I have never heard of Tower of Fantasy. I have no idea what it is.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, what is this?
Yeah, but Genshin Impact, like, that's a funny one, because I do remember when that got released, one of our old writing team Inferno played it on his mobile, and a lot of it was just automatic, so you just set the character to go farm and it would do its thing. And for its end game issues, Diablo Immortal was a very solid mobile title. I will give it that. But for me, given the amount of hours that I've put into it since it came out, it's got to be Marvel Snap. I absolutely adore Marvel Snap. It's such a really cool card game. It's very quick. There's six turns in a round. There's 12 cards in a deck. I don't know. There's not many cards in a deck.
Not
anyway.
Many, no.
And the deck building aspect of it is really fun. And I actually, to the point where I've actually dropped money on it, like, because there's a battle pass in it. And it comes up every month, and I don't think I'm going to be doing it for forever, because it's like $15 every month, and I'm not
a
keen
month.
On. Yeah, yeah. So the new battle pass rolls around every month, but yeah, for me, it's Marvel Snap. It's got to be.
My pick's a bit weird, because I actually haven't played my pick in a very long time. And as much as I'd like to say Apex, because I've been playing Apex since launch, I've never actually played it on mobile. The only one out of these nominees. Well, actually, there's two of them out of the nominees I've had experience with is Genshin and Marvel Snap. But I've actually picked Genshin because on my first experience with it, and I played it for quite a while, I was really pleasantly surprised by how involved it was. Like, gacha mechanics aside, yeah, that's like a whole other kettle of fish. I actually really enjoyed the combat and the elemental factors and the characters and stuff. Yeah, genuinely, I hooked a lot of hours into this, and I even got to a point where I put a mount on my Xbox controller so I could play it in bed. Nice. Me, that's why I picked Genshin Impact.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. Like, I've only played it on PC, but it's a fun game. Like, the elemental components of it in the different characters that you can get is really fun, and I can see the draw of it. So yeah, I'm not surprised to see it up for Mobile Game of the Year again. But I've stalled long enough now, and the poll's finished for best indie game. So The nominees again were Call to the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. Once again, pretty close. There was one definite winner and two not far behind it. And you'll be happy to know, Stormy, that chat thinks Cult of the Lamb is going to win. You should see our we've got a spreadsheet to track all this, and we're putting an X in next to the one we want to win. Stormy has filled up the whole cell with X's because she really, really wants Cult of the Lamb to win. And it's really good game.
I will say right now, if Cult of the Lamb does not win, all my followers in my cult and my current game are going in the bin, and I will rack up new followers again because that's how passionate I am about this game. So out of respect, I will start my cult fresh.
I feel like everybody's going to go and drink the Kool-Aid and just, you know, disappear. Yeah.
I've got to say bye to everyone in my cult. You guys know, if you've listened to the previous podcast, and obviously Jim knows as well, I am so passionate about Cult of the Lamb. I feel like they got robbed not being nominated for Game of the Year, in my opinion. In saying that, it just makes me worried, and I sweat thinking about the fact that Stray, that has been nominated for the Game of the Year, is in the same category as Cult of the Lamb. Cult of the Lamb is my pick, I feel like Stray is going to get it for that reason. But
yeah, yeah, I'm a bit the same way, because I voted for Tunic because I got frustrated with Tunic towards the end, but the way it does everything just it feels amazing. It brings back that air of discovery where, you know, you play the game and you have to get pieces of the manual together, and the manual is a puzzle in itself, and it feels really, really cool when you're playing the game and working all this stuff out. It's so good, and I feel, to me, that is the indie game of the year. But like you, I think because Stray's been nominated for Game of the Year as well, that it might take away that. But I'm not going to vote for it because I think it's going to win. I'm going to vote for the game that I want to win and I think should win. Sorry, that's a little rant there. But anyway, on to the next category, Best Community Support. So recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates / patches. So I'm going to say straight up, and I'm going to make it sound like I did this deliberately, not putting my vote in the spreadsheet, but it's really that I just forgot. But now I'm going to pad and just say that I did it deliberately, because why isn't Star Wars The Old Republic on here? They haven't had a good year story-wise, but they have done a lot of really amazing background changes that I absolutely love. So I'm going to say I did this deliberately when really I just forgot. Best Community Support. You've gone with Fortnite there, Stormy.
Yeah, I don't know if this is because, like, I would have loved to, again, have picked Apex, and I'm trying not to obviously play favorites, because I actually don't play Fortnite as much as I have Apex. But I don't know if it's being surrounded in the Apex community and seeing people complain about every character, like characters not being balanced, or, you know, maps not being, completely accessible, or whatever the case is. I don't know if because I hear more whinging in that part because I'm more involved with that community, I just deliberately didn't pick it. Whereas I feel like with Fortnite, I don't hear as much, like, I don't know, don't hear as many complaints, maybe. But again, that might be because I'm not as involved with that community. I just feel like every new update they've come out with, or when I've gone to play, like, for example, when I got rid of building and I had the no build mode, I don't think I came across any troubles playing that at all. You know, like, usually when I bring out a new patch, and, like, I mean, Call of Duty is unfortunately a really good example of this, where there's been so many crashes and things like that that I've had to experience, or even after updates I'm still having problems with the game. Whereas with Fortnite, like, yeah, actually upon launching Apex, still on my computer it doesn't run as smoothly as I think or as I want it to. But I've never found that with Fortnite. So that's the only reason I'm picking Fortnite, is because I've never had a bad experience with it.
So I actually went for Destiny 2 in the end, after all that stalling, and eventually was able to make my choice. mainly because I feel like after they separated in their relationship with Activision Blizzard and went free to play. I think that they've been building a really, really cool game, and I think that they've made some really good changes. There's even talk of, because like one of the big things that they did that upset a lot of players was they sunset some of the original content for Destiny 2, which I don't think that Bungie in particular liked, but I think they were kind of forced to by Activision Blizzard. But now I think they got the game on a really good track, and I think that they deserve to win the best community support there. The next category, we've only got a handful of categories to go, but the next category is innovation in accessibility. And this category recognizes software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. I'm going to get my one out of the way as soon as I finished reading these, because I was just going to say what my pick was, but we should read the nominations first. As Dusk Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, The Last of Us Part 1, and The Quarry. So I've gone with Return to Monkey Island, and it's probably not quite the accessibility that they really mean by this, but I still really love the hint system that Return to Monkey Island has. It's really cool and very granular in the way it gives out hints. So it doesn't just say, you know, or give you a clue that tells you this is the solution. It gives you very high level clues, which eventually funnel down into basically this is the solution if you click the hint button enough times. So I think that's really, it's a really cool way for people to experience the Monkey Island series and the point and click puzzle games that, I just think it's really, really cool and accessible way for people to be able to experience it.
Yeah, I think it's innovation and accessibility is a tricky one, because I was thinking about this earlier when I was thinking about my predictions and nominations and stuff. Because I don't know, I wouldn't be able to get the full grasp of how helpful and accessible all of these games are as, like, I guess, like an able-bodied person. But what I did find, though, playing The Quarry, I don't know if this would count, because it is obviously an entirely separate game to Until Dawn. But basically, instead of having, now I've got to remember what it is, their quick time events were a lot different, and they could be slower. Like, you could actually change the difficulty, especially in a horror game, I feel like, as well, where the stakes are pretty high. Just allowing people to have that extra time to be able to react properly is great. Also, just as like a general thing, I love subtitles in games, because I struggle to concentrate sometimes. Sometimes I don't hear a word properly, so I need to read it in front of me. Like, those little things for me, I know help me, and I know, like, I guess in other circumstances, we're talking things about, you know, options for people who are colorblind or might need extra accessibility in a way that controllers and stuff are being used and things like that. Obviously, I can't speak on that kind of thing, but I guess I've had a little bit of a taste of what The Quarry had to offer for me, so that's the only reason I've picked it. But I personally am now really interested to know what the other games or the other nominations also offer for this category. But I like that we have this category as well, because I think it's just so important that everyone gets to enjoy these games regardless of ability and things like this as well.
Exactly. Next category, best multiplayer for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. And the nominees for this one are Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. And I'm curious to hear your reasoning for your pick there, Stormy.
Yeah, a bit unexpected, because I think I did see that you've got Call of Duty now, so you probably would have seen how many hours that I've plugged into it. I didn't go for Call of Duty. I actually went for Overwatch 2, which, I don't know, it was hard for me to pick between the two, despite the fact that I play Call of Duty more. It seems like probably an odd choice for me. But Overwatch 2 was a very, for me anyway, was quite a smooth launch. Despite all the drama and whatever about the cosmetics and the battle pass, the actual multiplayer itself With the roster of different characters and a variety of characters you have, and the design of those characters, and the design of the original and the new maps that they've put in, and the lore that they continue to put out as well. I don't know. It just makes Overwatch 2, like, yes, we can argue that it's basically like the first one, but in itself, since this new, you know, kind of rejigging of it that's become Overwatch 2, I've just had a better, smoother experience playing it, and I, in some circumstances, would say in some ways a more enjoyable experience, despite the fact that my competitiveness in gritty first-person shooters does draw me more towards Modern Warfare 2. But I think for me, because Overwatch 2 appeals to such a wider audience, maybe even a younger audience as well, I'm a little bit biased because I know my sister still likes to play it and things like that. I don't know, just overall smooth experience and now free to play for everyone, still fairly well supported. That's why I've picked it.
For me, so first of all, I'm going to say that there's some really good choices on here. Multiverses was a really good competitor for Smash, if I'm being honest. Like the characters that they had in there and the way it played were really fun. Splatoon, I always love Splatoon because like I've always said, it's a very Nintendo way of doing a shooter where, you know, the objective is not to kill everybody but to cover the stage in paint. But for me, and it's not a I feel like it's very different because it's not a competitive game. It's a co-op game because I've gone for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. And I do feel like there's a bit of nostalgia creeping into it because I love the old arcade beat-em-ups like The Simpsons and the old X-Men and Turtles in Time. They were just all so much fun. And Shredder's Revenge really captured a lot of that, but not only let it be multiplayer, and local multiplayer, like the Switch I think you could have all six people playing on the Switch locally. But the online that it did for it was just amazing as well. And I really think that as a game that's designed to be played with other people, that I think it stands out on its own there. And I think that it should win best multiplayer game there. Moving on, three categories left and one more poll for chat. So chat, you can get involved again in very short time. But the best indie debut. So for the best debut game created by an independent studio, and we have Neon White, Norco, Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivors. Stormy, how'd you get here?
I, no doubt, like when I looked at the nominees, like Stray should definitely, I think, win this one. I just think the love and the attention that it received when it was first announced all the way up to when it finally launched, I think is really, really impressive. Like, yes, cute cat, but like at the same time, the actual game itself, I think is appealing to a lot of, like a wide audience as well, even people who maybe don't play video games as well. I just felt like this was a really great title, and again, I think the reception for it was also really good, and that's what stood out to me compared to the other games that also are in this category. So yeah, I think no doubt I think I'm feeling pretty confident that Stray will get this one.
Yeah, for me, I went a different way. Stray is no doubt a technical marvel, and it's a really great debut game from this studio. It looks absolutely amazing. And with Tunic being in that list, you'd probably think that I'm going to go for Tunic, but I actually went for Vampire Survivors. So this one, I haven't played myself, but I've watched a lot of streamers play it, and a lot of my friends pop up on my Steam list saying they're playing this game, and it actually looks really quite cool, and I'm very impressed that it's got so much depth to it. And so I think as a debut, Vampire Survivors is the winner here. Now, we've got two categories left, but I'm going to jump to the last one first because...
Cool.
Yeah, just going to mention that so we can get the poll up in chat. So if you want to read that one out for us, Stormy.
So this one, I think, will be an interesting one. It's most anticipated game. So the games that we have, so it's recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. So we have Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, look, there's some very good titles in there. And it's going to be interesting to see what chat comes up with when I finish typing, because typing and talking at the same time.
Sorry, I tried to say it as
poorly. but we've got the poll live now, so those in Twitch chat, knock yourself out, have fun there. As we go back and talk about best adaptation, so recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. So the nominees for this one is Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted. So until recently, I had seen everything but two of these, but I actually binge-watched Edgerunners today, so now I've seen that as well.
I haven't finished it, so no spoilers.
Yeah, I quite liked it. I really thought it had a really good story in it, and it was very well done. That said, Arcane shits all over it. Arcane is by far the best adaptation out of this. Like, I wanted to see how Edgerunner finished, but I needed to know how Arcane finished. That was the difference between it. And I haven't seen the Cuphead show. I've heard some pretty good things about it, but I haven't watched it. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, I kind of felt wasn't as good as the first one, and maybe that was because I got a little bit more surprised by the first Sonic movie. And Uncharted was good fun. It felt like an Uncharted movie. It had like one of the big set pieces at the back of a plane, as it's one of its big set pieces. But yeah, I don't think anything can beat Arcane there. Just the story it told, how it made me feel, like the number of gut punches that show gave me. It was just, it's such a good show. And like how Arcane made me want to play League of Legends, Edgerunners didn't make me want to go back and play Cyberpunk, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting because I also voted for Arcane. Without trying to be as biased as possible, because I obviously love playing League of Legends, the fact that, like, my mum, my sister, Charlie Golf, who always said to me and still says to me he will not go anywhere near League of Legends, all really enjoyed the TV show with no prior knowledge to any of the game at all. I thought was really telling of how good the story was and how great the characters were. Also the art style and killer soundtrack as well, I have to add. The soundtrack for Arcane is brilliant. I am about an episode or two away from finishing Edgerunners. I have really enjoyed it. As someone who hasn't played Cyberpunk, I'm more intrigued. I don't know if it would make me, you know, want to go in the same way that you've said about League of Legends. I don't know if it makes me want to go play Cyberpunk just yet. It is obvious in a different way. I feel like Cyberpunk Edgerunners is more intense. I feel like what it does is really, really good. But I don't know. There's just some kind of spark or magic with Arcane that, like, I don't know. I knew that I had to vote for it.
Yeah, cool. So that's a unanimous vote there for us. Now, I am actually shocked by our Twitter poll. Like, yeah, I cannot believe this game has come out on top. So for most anticipated game, we've got the nominees again: Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. The one that chat has picked is Hogwarts Legacy. Like, that wasn't even on my radar for most anticipated.
Yeah, no, I'm sure the game will be good when it comes out. I don't plan on playing it. It's also going to be a very expensive time of year for me that year when Resident Evil comes out. So I think I'm not even, like, that's obviously not even in my mind. But no one voted for Resident Evil. How dare you all?
Fine. Well, even like, so the other two that got votes in our Twitch poll were Starfield and Legend of Zelda. And I've got to admit that I was the one that voted for Legend of Zelda, because I was watching the poll and going, Legend of Zelda cannot get zero votes.
No, well, wait, hang on a minute, because then I would have voted for Resident Evil, but this spreadsheet you've got a section for chat, and you've got a separate section for you, and you've got a separate section for me. So you can't just get your second vote in just because.
I can try and, you know, not get away with it. But, you know, even in the end, it still didn't win. So, yeah.
No.
Chat but, just really likes Hogwarts Legacy. Yes, my most anticipated game of the year is going to be Tears of the Kingdom, because so excited for the Breath of the Wild sequel. It's going to be so cool.
You would have thought I would have picked Resident Evil 4, because that is my most anticipated game, hands down. Like, no doubt about it. But I believe that Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom will win, based on the fact that they've kept us hanging for so long as well, and everyone's like, where's the new Breath of the Wild game? And then they finally, like, gave us the new info. That's why I think it's going to win most anticipated. I don't think Resident Evil 4 will, because obviously I feel like as a horror game, it doesn't appeal to everyone. I'm yet to see a bit more Starfield before that's on my highly anticipated game list. I'd really like to see some more personally.
When is Starfield release date?
Does that even have a date? Like,
I thought it did. I thought, like, originally it was the end of this year, and then it got pushed back to like February next year. I can't even remember now. Or even if it has a date.
Yeah.
No, it's just got 2023 as its release date. Okay. So it was supposed to be November 11th. But no, now it's back to 2023.
No, I think especially because we've got a date and everything for Tears of the Kingdom now, and we've seen a little bit of footage, I think that's enough to have it win, because people are like, okay, we finally know that it's coming and it's a thing and we know what it's called. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's our game awards sort of predictions there, or what we want to win, really. I think what we want to win. And look, it's going to be interesting to see come Friday morning who takes out a lot of these. And we should stress as well that we haven't gone through every category. There was a heap that we didn't do, which is probably just as well, because this episode is already at an hour and 20 minutes. So we've gone a long time over than what we normally do.
White Monkey is so lucky for making that comment about Resident Evil 4 right when we're finishing. Otherwise, we'd be here for another half an hour saying RE4 is also a remake, so I don't know how that will go for its anticipation. But that's okay. I'm going to hold my tongue and we'll talk about that another time.
See, I think I didn't play, I haven't played any Resident Evil game, so I've got no yardstick to compare it to. But if it's changed as much as the original Final Fantasy VII was to the Final Fantasy VII remake, that's a totally new game. And don't mind that. Evil 4 follows that, then that's cool. I have other issues with remakes about, you know, why remake an old game, just make a new one. That's also something for another time. But we cannot wait to see the Game Awards. If you're up at that time, don't forget, go watch Stormy, who is co-streaming the Game Awards there. Get her reaction shots. And don't forget all the trailers that are going to be in there as well.
Oh, I'm so excited. I haven't even thought about that yet. Oh. And they've got some special guests appearing to present some stuff. I'm pretty sure Pedro Pascal. And oh my god, Bella Ramsey, who's playing Joel and Ellie, are going to be there. I'm pretty sure one of the Muppets is going to be there.
Muppets? Yeah. I want to know which Muppets presenting in a war. Please let it be Animal for best music, and then let Metal Hellsinger win.
Wait, hold on. Let me quickly tell you before we sign off. Hold on.
No, that's that would be amazing. Because if you're getting Animal to present an award, surely.
It's Animal.
Oh, yes. Did they say what award he's presenting?
No, I didn't say. But it has to be. Surely it has to be.
Please let it be music and that Animal. Yes. Yes, Bond's pop. Yes, Animal. I absolutely love it. going to be interesting to see how he talks in that. But anyway, it's going to be very exciting to see come Friday. Tune into Stormy. Is it Stormy Streams on Twitch?
Yes. So twitch.tv/StormyStreams. That's STORMIE. I will be live. I'm hoping just before 8:30 a.m. Perth time, just so we can all have a bit of a chat before it starts. And yeah, I'll be streaming the whole thing. So I hope to see you there.
Nice. And really, it's going to be exciting next week when we come back and see see how we went with our predictions, see how chat went, see if, you know, their out of the box Hogwarts Legacy pick gets it for them. We're going to sign off there, but I do want to say that next week is going to be our last show for 2022. So definitely, if you're going to tune in, come and tune in on that, and we'll talk what happened at the Game Awards. I reckon we should go back on what our gaming moments of the year are going to be have been as well, because I reckon there's been a few that we can have a bit of a chat about there.
Yeah, but, I think so.
But until then, thank you all for watching or listening wherever you are, and we'll catch you all next week.